All right, so we all know that the Steelers are not in the playoffs, so it really doesn't matter at all, actually. But I'm still a football guy, grew up playing football myself, and so there's four teams left, and today we find out who's going to the Super Bowl. And, you know, I don't know who to root for, definitely not Philadelphia, okay, I know that much. But, you know, I'm kind of interested in the 49ers, and this is why. They got this young gunslinger by the name of Brock Purdy. And this guy's awesome. You know his title? Mr. Irrelevant. I love it. Do you know that from Iowa State, he was drafted last? No one cared about him. Literally, he is the last guy drafted, number 262. It don't get worse than that. Okay? Nobody cared about this guy. And anyone drafted last is called Mr. Irrelevant. And he is one game away from going to the Super Bowl. You know, I love underdogs. I'm all about the underdog, rooting for him, cheering him on, because nobody thought he would do anything, let alone take his team to possibly the Super Bowl. He's in the championship tonight. This understanding of how awesome. And I think we love those underdog stories too. You know, Brock's got nothing to lose, man, and everything to gain. He's throwing four touchdowns of passes a game. He's got his passer ratings through the roof. And he knows that nobody's got it that believes in him. So he's got nothing to lose. He's playing his heart out. He wants to win. You know, this understanding of the underdog is something that is Christian and has Judeo-Christian roots. It's in the Bible. See, God loves the underdog. We're going to talk about the underdog today because it's all throughout the Bible, in both the Old Testament and the New. And so Zephaniah today talks about this remnant. Who are the remnant? See, the remnant are the underdogs of Israel. And if you look at the history of Israel, you saw that they got really big, and then God would have to humble them. They became a great nation, but then they stopped worshiping God. So God would humble them, and they would be conquered by another empire. The Assyrians, the Babylonians, many times over and over again. And so all that was left was the remnant. The rich and the wealthy were taken away. The great and powerful leaders were killed. The cities were destroyed, and all were left with these people, which they called the Anawim. They were the nobodies. The nobodies. And they're like, nah, leave those guys. They can't do anything. They can't. They're not going to raise up another nation. Nah. And from them, time and time again, God chose the underdog. He chose the remnant, the Anawim, and he raised up a great nation. And he said, look, you don't have to have all these skills. You don't have to be superheroes. You just got to be faithful. And my grace is sufficient enough. I'm going to raise you up and make you a great nation again. And so Zephaniah reminds us that there's this remnant out there. You know, if you look at church history, if you look at the New Testament, you look at 2,000 years in the Catholic Church that's been around, we see the same thing in church history, don't we? That the church gets really big and then she shrinks too. And right now in the world, the church is shrinking. But you know, if you look at church history, this is a great time in the world to be a Christian right now. Because everybody's leaving. And you're like, Father, can you explain this? Because that doesn't sound very good. Right? Numbers are down. They're like, Father, you're real bad at math, aren't you? Yeah, that ain't good, Father. But the understanding is, no, and it's a great time to be a Catholic. And this is why. You know, since the pandemic, do you know that we only had 30% of people going to Mass? We're down to 10% since the pandemic. You're like, and this is across the board all throughout America, not just here. Many people left for many different reasons. This understand that you and I, we're the remnant. We're the Anawim. We're the underdogs. And nobody sees it coming. That's what I love about this. That God brought you here today for Mass. God brought me here from Greene County. And ain't nothing good coming from Greene County, but I came there. Yeah, that's right. It's like there was nothing good that came from Nazareth either, except for the Messiah. Right? So God loves the underdog. And if you look at all the saints of the Old Testament and the New, he picked people you wouldn't expect. Jeremiah was a dresser of sycamore trees. He cut down trees for a living, and he raised him up to be a great prophet. Right? Elijah, Elisha, they were farmers, became some of the greatest prophets ever. We see time and time again, Jesus picked the 12 apostles, a bunch of blue-collar workers. He could easily pick the scribes and the Pharisees. But what we see last week is he picked a bunch of fishermen. They were not great speakers, orators. They were not great philosophers. Nah. And they weren't even really good at catching fish either. And God called them. There's this beautiful line when I was studying seminary that God doesn't call the equipped, he equips those he calls. And because you're baptized, you've been called by God personally. So what does that mean? Well, the gospel today is Matthew's account of the Beatitudes. And I love this account of the Beatitudes because it's beautiful, and it starts off every sentence with, blessed are those. So the question is, what does it mean to be blessed? Right? Well, blessings come from God, not from you, not from me. So what does it mean to be blessed? And what God is revealing to us in Scripture is that blessed are those means God walks with those who are building up his kingdom. Period. Blessed means God walks with those who build up his kingdom. You and I are the remnant. We're the Elohim. No one expects us to win the championship, let alone the Super Bowl. And that's why God picked us. See, St. Paul talks about this in his readings. He says, look, if God would have picked the smartest and the brightest, you know, he would have, all the glory would have went to human abilities. But God just chose the simple of heart. And he would do amazing things. For those who are weak, he would make us strong. So God's calling you and I, and as I talk to so many Christians out there, like, Father, I don't got any gifts and talents. I'm like, whoa, they're like Eeyore, you know? I got nothing good. No, that's not true. The guy called you by name. He knit you in his mother, in your mother's womb. He called you, and he's got a plan. So what does that look like? Well, this is your homework this week. See, we got to be more intentional. And what does it mean to be intentional as a Christian? Means that every day when I wake up, all throughout the day, I'm asking this question, how can I bring Jesus to this moment right now? That's being intentional. How can I bring Jesus to this moment right now? What if we started thinking like that every day? Every second of the day, every breath we took, we asked that question, what can I do for you right now, Jesus? You know, we would change our lives, our marriages, our families, our neighborhoods, our country. And so that's what I want you to do this week. Every day you wake up, and every second of the day, as you start a new thing, like you go to work, ask that question, God, how can I bring you to the situation right now? When you go home today for dinner, ask that question, Jesus, how can I bring you right now into this dinner? What can I do for you right now? How can I make your kingdom present right now? And it's the little things that we do, but we have to do it intentionally. We got to want to do it. And it's more than just being kind and nice, right? It's about bringing people Jesus and saving souls and building the kingdom. And so let's stop being intentional. And so I like our God. Our God is the God of the underdogs. He raises up those third stringers, fourth stringers that nobody even thought would ever play the game. No one expected Peter to ever be a good fisherman, let alone the leader of his church. This is what God does. And so we have two more games till the Super Bowl tonight. And you know who I'm rooting for? Brock Purdy. Why? Because he's the underdog. He's a gunslinger because he's got nothing to lose and everything to gain. And very few people believed in him. And I hope he wins a championship tonight. But you and I are the underdogs too. We're the Elohim. We're the remnant, as Zephaniah talked about. Nobody sees us coming. That makes us extremely dangerous. Because you're going to save souls. You're going to build the kingdom of God right here in Washington County. And you're going to become a great saint. You know, I study church history, and what I found out is true is that when the remnant happens, when the church gets small, and that's what's happening right now, in my lifetime, the church is going to get small. It's okay. Do you know that's when God raises up the most saints? Yeah. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. You know, God's tired of just people sitting in the pew and being mediocre. God's saying it's time to be a saint. It's time to rise up and be a legend. You know, I want to leave you with this. You know, at the end of Mass, the deacon or the priest says, you know, go forth, the Mass is ended, or go in peace, or go and announce the gospel of the Lord. You know, that's not a dismissal, right? That doesn't mean like, go have fun today, kids. It's a command. It's a commissioning. Go, get out of here, and build the kingdom of God. See, this is what God always wanted in Holy Mass. You come to church on Sunday to be fed with the Eucharist, the body and blood of Jesus. You get empowered by His grace, and then you go out there, outside those doors, and you make a difference in the world. That's what God all intended. And so it's every person on deck right now. And so today, you and I are Mr. and Mrs. Irrelevant. Today is a day you and I win a championship.